Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 148, The Power of the Tongue, part of the Emerging from Crisis series. Guest minister Elie Frauhiger delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on September 27th, 2020.
My, my, my. God is good. Okay. I was going to, you know, autopilot, I was going to tell you to have a seat, but you don't have to have a seat. It's okay. Some might can't have a seat right now, so it's all right. Do whatever you need to do. If you want to have a seat, you can. But you can stand with me, too. It's all right. I just wanted to share. God is so good. And when God, when you ask something of the Lord, He responds. It's okay. You can stay standing with me. That way I'm not alone. It's all right. It's good. And so I've asked the Lord to speak to me while I'm sleeping. And oh man, this whole week, like each night, like I have a something. I've got stuff. Like God's just giving me things. It's just amazing. So Holy Spirit is so good. I get the easy part. I just go to bed. I wake up and I was like, Psalm 1 the other day. So I want to read Psalm 1 because I was dreaming about Psalm 1. And so I think it's for maybe specific people. And I was like, I think it's for people, Lord. But I'm taking it for myself because I was the messenger and it went through me. So I'm going to take it too. So Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. And who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Wow. So he's given us a little manual there, like some instructions. Have you ever felt like your leaf is withering? Have you ever felt a little dry? Well, he's telling you, don't do certain things, and then do certain things, and you will be blessed. You are blessed. Blessed is the one. So he's saying what not to do. Don't walk in step with the wicked. Like, don't partner with the wicked. Don't walk with the wicked, right? And that might not be physically with a person. I mean, we know, like, we're not to yoke with unbelievers, right? But maybe it's a wicked thought that we're taking step with and, like, accompanying and taking along our arm and walking around with that thought, right? Or something that, a phrase that we say that's not honoring God. Whatever it is, don't walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take. Like, we are called out to be different. We're called to take a different path, the narrow path. But it's one that finds that where we find life. It's one where we will be blessed. He says, I set before you in Deuteronomy, right? He says, I set before you blessing and cursing. Choose blessing, like choose life. So he's showing us go on this path, right? Amen. Don't sit in the company of mockers. Oh, there's so much that we could mock, you know, like turn on the TV and we could have a mock session after or during it, right? Are we linking with that? Are we joining up with that? Because he's saying, don't. You won't find life there. Your leaf is going to wither if that's where you are, right? But whose delight is in the law of the Lord. So now he's telling us, okay, here's what to do. Here's how to find life. Here's how to find blessing. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight is like great pleasure. Are you taking great pleasure in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord? I feel like I've been renewed in my love for the word in the last week or two. It's just really amazing. Like the word is just coming alive to me in a new way, and it's delightful. I'm getting great pleasure out of it. It's awesome. and who meditates on his law day and night. Meditate on, chew on, mull over, like be like a cow chewing on his cud, right? Over and over and over. It's like, it could be the same little phrase, but we chew on that. We mull it over. We get it truly in our hearts because he's saying, this is the path of life. My word is life and healing to all your flesh, it says, right? So we want that life. Meditate on his word. Be delighted in his word, his law. That is the path to blessing. Don't go the road more traveled, right? The road that everyone else is taking. Delight yourself in what God is saying to you, his rhema word, his written word to you. Thank you, his logos word. Thank you, Jesus. And then he says, the result of that, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water. It's giving abundant fruit. Its roots are grounded and getting water to it, right? Whatever they do prospers. I don't know about you, but I want to prosper in whatever I do. And I can do that. I do that when I'm meditating on what God says to me. I'm not partnering with evil thoughts. I take those thoughts captive and I partner with God's word. I'm delighting in his word. And he says, you will be blessed. So I don't know if there's somebody that's maybe been felt like the Lord has called you on a certain path or to take a certain step of faith. And sometimes you feel like you're little, like on a tightrope, a little wobbly in that. He's saying to you today, be strong in my word. There you will find blessing. There you will find this, the firm steps, the security to keep on walking. So don't give up, he's saying to somebody, and I'm taking it for myself as well. I'm preaching to myself. Don't give up. Keep going. Steady yourself. Delight yourself. Allow great pleasure to come from the word. And he says, there you will be like a tree planted by streams of water. You will find life and healing and peace and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit. You're going to have a big old fruit basket. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's all I got. So praise the Lord. That's all I got, but it's good, right? Thank you, Jesus. So it's my pleasure today to introduce my dear sister in Christ, Ellie, who's going to bring us the word. So buckle up.
Amen. Yes. Well said, buckle up. Am I on?
Oh, you're
Am I clear?
You're
okay.
Connected. All right.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for technology. Amen. Whew.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, everyone. Good morning. Good morning to those of you watching via Facebook Live. Be blessed. We're glad that you are here. And those of you that will be listening via podcast later on, God bless you all. I'm glad you got up this morning even just to listen to the Word of God. It's going to be a great message. I guarantee it's going to be a great message. It was all downloaded by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the only message we want. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah. So let's see if you're awake. Oh, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Yes, hallelujah. God is good. Amen. We worship him. We just love the Lord. Let's just start with prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we just love you, Lord.
Mm.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, Father God. Lord, I just pray that you will prepare our hearts to receive your word, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, let your spirit and your Holy Ghost speak through my lips. Let it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Well, today's message is going to be in the power of the tongue. Get ready. It's going to be good. We're going for a long ride. Let's see. They told me I have until 4. So are we okay there? You may not get a chance to talk. You may not. No, you may. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Buckle up. Buckle up. We're going to make it a smooth ride. I promise. I promise it's going to be smooth. I told Pastor Harley, get me some water, Pastor Harley, because it's going to be a hard pill to swallow, okay? Because I think I'm preaching this for me, but you guys can join me, okay? So, you know, controlling our tongues can be very difficult, right? And it's challenging, right? You know, I don't care how mature we're in Christ. We're still, I mean, that's an area we continue to grow, amen? Yeah. So if I was to take a survey and ask you personally, where are you at from a scale from 1 to 10 with our tongues, 1 being like, you know, filth and all kinds of stuff, and 10 being perfect, I don't think none of us, including the people in ministry, amen, would be at a 10, right? Because only Jesus was perfect. Yeah. So we still got a little bit of room to grow, okay? So this is for everyone. Amen. You know, although our tongues is a very small member of our body, it's got incredible power. Amen? So saying, you know, you heard that, I got to take my glasses so I can see better because I got good vision close but far away, so I guess it's better that I look close, right? So the saying, we all heard it, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's simply not true, you guys, right? Words does, they do hurt us, and they hurt others. Especially the people that we love, right? Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. With our tongues, we have the power to speak blessings and life, or we can speak curses and death, right? So it is vital that we guard our mouths from speaking evil. Amen. Psalm 141:3. You may want to like get your notes and pens and paper because I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. And this is so good, you know, so you can study on it later on for the rest of the week. Because I've been studying it for a whole week, and trust me, whoo, God is working on me. Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You know, once we release a word over ourselves, over somebody, we can take it back, right? So we have to be really, really careful of the words that come out of our mouths. Amen? Yes. James, go with me to James. If you have your Bibles, it's really good that you like read with me, and or your iPhones. You know, technology is amazing. So you can use your iPhones. Though I might think you're like on something else, so it's good to get. I just like paper. I'm old school. So James 3,
Amen.
Yeah, I'm trying to get used to this new technology. It's like, Ellie, you got all these papers, you're writing all this stuff. Let's just get you to the tablet here. I don't know what it's called, but yeah, it's good. See, I'm not technical, but it's working for me, so praise the Lord. James 3, 1 through 18. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they can obey us, and we turn their whole body. I don't know if any of you like went horseback riding or why not, but Sister Joanne, she has horses. And I went to visit her in her farm, and you know, she got me up on this huge horse. And of course they're huge, so I had to like climb on this little wooden box and finally got up there, right? And then she tells me, "Now, Ellie, this is really important. Here's how you steer the horse." I'm like, "Oh, that's a wheel? No, but you know that bit that goes in the horse's mouth is a metal thing that goes in the horse's mouth, and then that guides the horse with it to go. It's got the reins. So she says, if you want the horse to go to the right, you know, pull on the right. Okay, it's easy. I can do that. And if you want the horse to go to the left, then you know, tug on the left." I said, okay, that's good, left and right, but how do I tell it to stop? So she said, because you know, you never know, he takes going, and you're like, oh, you know? So she says, just pull on bull reins, and then he'll stop. I said, I can do this. So can you imagine a little metal piece can direct this huge horse, right? And then the same thing, you know, Ford tells us that look at the ships. Although they are so large, and they are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. So, you know, sometimes some of you, they went on a vacation. I still haven't done that yet, but, you know, one of these days I'll go on one of those big boats that have all that good stuff in it. One of these days. Pastor Harley mission trip. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right, like cruise, that's what it is. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it sets on fire by hell. I don't know about you, but every time I see hell, it's scary to me, right? The word. But 7, it says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by man. And it goes on 8 and says, by no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You know, when I was reading that, I was like, man, the only thing I can think of deadly poison is a snake, right? Because in its tongue, it's got all that poison, that nastiness. Amen. With it, we bless God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Thus a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yield both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have a bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. For the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. That is so good, right? We can talk about that one for all day long, but James is trying to tell us here that our tongues, even are so small, can create a lot of damage, right? I mean, he says our tongue is a fire, right? An unruly evil full of deadly poison. I don't know about you, but I never thought that of my tongue, you know? Put lip gloss on it. I don't think about it being poisonous, right? I would like to take a look and examine our mouths. This is where it's going to get it tough. So buckle your seatbelts, right? Amen? I'm telling you, it's ministering to me. I really need this, you guys. Okay? So what are we doing? Are we speaking life, like Sister Sarah said? Are we speaking life over ourselves and over others? You know, are we blessing people or are we cursing them? What are we doing, right? You know, we come to church on Sunday mornings like today and we worship God. We honor him. We give him praise. We give him glory. You know, we bless one another, right? We compliment one another. Oh, Sister Sarah, I love your outfit, right? We speak blessings to one another. But let's be real here. Once we hit that door and out into the parking lot, hello, right? We are complaining. Amen, brother. Some of us don't make it to the door, right? We're just like right here, right after service. Like, did you see? No. You know, so we complain, you know, we're murmuring, we're critical and judgmental sometimes, right? We complain about the music being too loud, you know, we didn't like the songs, the service was too long, you know, Pastor Harley kind of went double message today, you know? We didn't like this. We didn't like that, right? Come on, we're going to be real today, okay? We complain and complain and complain, right? Who do we sound like? Those people from Exodus. Who? Come on, it's a test.
The Israelites.
I knew Sister Cheryl. I heard her last night say the Israelites. Amen? We sound like the Israelites. We complain and complain. That's what they did. So let's go take a look at Exodus 16, 1 through 4. All right, I'm going to give you a little time to get there. Exodus 16, 1 through 4. Okay, and they journeyed from Elim, I hope I said that right, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses. Here it is. They complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, no? 16, 1 through 4. Okay, are we there, sister? Okay, we're going to help her out. Somebody, help her out, Loretta. Okay, number 3. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So see, they're already complaining. I mean, Moses part, you know, God parted the Red Sea for them. I mean, that should be enough, right? That would have been enough for me. Amen? So, you know, so they're saying, that you're going to kill us all here. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Hallelujah. And the people should go out and gather certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Right? How many of you want to see bread coming down from heaven?
Amen.
Right? He does that sometimes. Somebody knocking on your door. I got groceries for you. Right, Pastor Haley? Hallelujah. Let's go look at another complaining part. Exodus 17:3-6. And the people thirst there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with these people? They are already almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod, which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. Think about it. He's given manna from heaven, water from a rock, and they're still complaining, right? They complain, they complain, and they complain. Now, how many years were they stuck in that wilderness?
40.
40 years. And this is just an 11-day journey. Can you imagine? 40 years for an 11-day journey because all of that complaining, right? Let's take a look at our lives. Some of us are stuck in a place because of our mouths, right? Take an inventory. Hallelujah. Take some notes. Right? Hello. Hello.
Take notes.
This is take notes, people.
Just in case
you
need.
Yes, he's ready. Hallelujah. I need the water. Hallelujah. I told Pastor, give me a lot of water because this is going to be hard to follow. So let's just like put it into our own terms here because I know Santos will be with me on this one. How long does it take us to drive to the taco place for lunch right after church? What is it? 10, 15 minutes, Santos? At the most, you know, depending on traffic, you know. Can you imagine it taking 40 days to get to the taco place? Come on now. We got to get this right, right? Santos says, that's not bueno. Right? No, no, no. Let's get our tongues and our mouths speaking right so we can get to the taco place in 10 minutes. Amen?
That's right.
Like, I'm getting hungry already. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, the Lord has been working on me. In this specific area, some of you that know me, I've shared some stuff with you guys. So the last, you know, since the summer started, I'm like, okay, are you ready to grow, Ellie? You need to move up higher, you know, from glory to glory. So here you go. And I was okay, Lord, I'll take it. So he truly has a sense of humor. Okay, he would have me speak about the subject that he's dealing on me with. That's tough, you guys. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to share this. I don't want to teach this. No, no, no. Like, I'm still working on it. Hello, let me get delivered from that, and then I can come. It's just, but you're never going to be. So get up there and do it. I said, yes, Lord. I hear you loud and clear, right?
That's right.
Amen. So all this week, I've gotten tested, okay, with my mouth. I will say that I passed all of the tests, well, except one. So, and then, so I'm going to, that's the one he wants me to share with you guys. You think that he wants me to share, like, my success stories, right? No, he wants me to share this one where I'm like, I'm so ashamed, Lord. But you know what? If I'm going to share my dirty laundry to help some of you on Facebook, I'm going to do it. Okay? I will do this. Okay? So I got tested this week and I failed miserably. I mean, I'm ashamed to say it, but you know what? I'm growing. And that's all there's to it.
Amen.
So my son Tommy and I went to one of his favorite restaurants, and I'm not going to name the restaurant because, you know, I got some things to say about that. So our service... So I'm saving, sparing... See, I'm trying to be nice. I am trying to be nice, see? I'm working on it. Yeah, yeah. I said, look, I'm working on it. So, you know, our service wasn't very good. It really wasn't, you guys. I think she was a new waitress, so I gave her some grace. So I didn't say anything to her. I'm like, yes, yes. And she was nice. That was good, you know. So they had this little fancy machine that you can pay your bill at the end, right? And then you put your card. And Tommy had to help me out because I'm not that technical. So put my card, and they give you the bill. And then automatically, which I do love this part, automatically goes to 20% tip. And I'm like... Oh, great, because I don't have to, like, go, okay, 10% of $10, you know, or 60 is this. So it went right to the 20, because they're telling you, you give 20. That's basically what that means, okay? So anything less than that, you better, like, talk to God. No, but anyway, so it came to the 20%, and I was like, I said, Tommy, what do you think? You think she deserves 20%? And he said, yeah, Mom, she was nice. And I was like, So then I began to... explain / complain, right? Like trying to get some feedback from him. And I said, well, she forgot to bring out the bread. I mean, you go to a restaurant, and, like, the free bread, right? I'm like, how are you going to forget the free bread? We're hungry, right? And this was, like, last Sunday, so I had been fasting. I need some food, and she don't bring me the bread, right? And then, so I ordered salad, and, you know, they give you, and I'm going to give it up if I say all this stuff. So they give you salad, and I don't want to give up the name of the restaurant. So they give you salad, and then you can order again if you want to. And so I ordered for a refill of my salad, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not getting no more salad. You know, because I was trying to eat light salad and soup kind of thing. You know, it doesn't work. But then I eat all I want, so that's good. So, you know, and then so you know. But I didn't say it. I didn't say it, right? So they didn't refill my drink. You know, they didn't refill my drink. I had to ask her, can I get another tea, please? Oh, she was kind. She was polite. So that was a good thing. And then so it was like kind of like Tommy's birthday's like late dinner, because we didn't go for his birthday. So we had like a late dinner, like after his birthday dinner. He's like, so I get to get appetizers this time, Mom, right? I'm thinking, yeah, it's your birthday, so let's get an appetizer. So the appetizer came at the same time as our meal. Like, come on, you guys, right? I'm like, I don't need an appetizer now. The food is here, right? And like the worst part, okay? See, I am complaining, but I'm trying to explain too. So the most important part is that little chocolate they give you at the end, those little chocolates with the mint. I don't know what they call the little Andes mints. I thought, that's my dessert, you guys. She didn't give us any. And I was like, what? You know, not even the little chocolates. So I told Tommy, really, Tommy? And she says, Mom, do you hear yourself? He's 14, you guys. He's 14, okay? He just turned 14. Do you hear yourself, Mom? You're complaining and complaining. And then he says, you are grown, Mom. He said that to me. Quit complaining. And I was like, oh, Lord. You know, he's 14. He gets it. You know? He done put me in my place. Okay? So kudos to Tommy. And of course, later on, I apologized. And I did ask him if I could use him, because he's like, don't talk about me when you're preaching, Mom. Don't talk about me. You know? But I asked him for permission. So see? I'm working on it. Okay. So I'll give you another little story, because this is really good. So there's a story of a monk, and this guy goes into this particular monastery, okay? So in this particular monastery, you can say two words per year. Two words. How about that, Tanya? Two words. Because her and I like to talk. Can you imagine two words in a year? So anyway, so that was the particular monastery.
Woo!
Lord, don't sign me up for that one. No. So the first year, okay, he comes to the monk, the chief monk. I don't know what they call him. The head guy. He comes to him first year and the two words he says is bed hard. That's what he says. These two words, bed hard. So second year comes, it rolls around. He comes up again and he says, food bad. These two words, food bad, right? The third year comes around and he comes and sees the chief monk and he says, I quit. So he said, I quit. And the chief priest is like, well, I'm not surprised. You've been complaining since you got here. I feel like that monk. I've been complaining. Right? Oh, that's like, I had to share that one. That was good. So, you know, Joyce Myers always says, you know, if you complain, you will remain. And some of us are remaining in that same place because God wants to move us up higher, right? But if you praise, you will be raised. Come on now, who wants to be raised? I know I do. See, because I'm taking this pill. I really did a double dose, right? Complaining opens the door to the enemy, but praising opens the door for God to work in our lives. Amen. For the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So what are we speaking over ourselves and over others? Okay. When we wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that comes out of our mouths? Is it, thank you, Jesus, for another day. You are worthy to be praised. You are awesome, Father. Thank you for another day, for breath in my lungs. I mean, we can be so thankful for so many things, right? Oh, are we complaining about having to get up and go to work? Oh, let me sleep a little longer, get that snooze button. Or you know, for the younger ones, are you complaining about going to school? You know, or et cetera, whatever we're complaining about, right? So there's power in our words. Life and death, which one are you speaking? Right? Let's go to Genesis 1:3. And I'm not going to read the whole thing for lack of time, so let's say Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Then you go to Genesis 1:6 mm-hmm. and 1:9 and 1:11 and 1:14 and 1:20 and 24 and 26. And 29, and God said, right? Yeah. God spoke this world into existence by him speaking. Now, you know that God is so powerful and almighty. He doesn't have to speak anything to make anything, right? But he did it for a purpose, for us to understand the power of the words that we speak, and that by speaking, you know, it shows us the mighty power of his word. Amen. So he created the world by speaking it into existence. We have that power inside of us, right? We have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? Amen? So we have that resurrected power in us. And we are his children, so we can exercise that power. Amen? Isaiah 55:11 tells us, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I pleased, and it shall prosper in the things for which it was sent, which I sent it. We hinder ourselves by negative speaking words over such as, I can't do this. I mean, I know you guys heard it. Other people and yourselves, probably. I can't do this. I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that. I'm not good as you are. I'm not smart enough. I'm not capable. I'm not gifted like you are. Here's a good one. Cover your ears. Well, I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too ugly. Come on, guys. Let's be real here, right? I can't remember a thing. Every time since I turned 40, I can't remember a thing. You know? No, we have the mind of Christ. Amen? I can't afford this. I can't afford that. Well, maybe not now, but if you keep saying that, no, put your hand on your wallet and start speaking it to be full. Amen? You know? It's like, I'm not this, I'm not that. You know, all those little lies that the enemy kind of like puts in our minds, you know, we start believing that. You know? We speak that stuff over ourselves. And it's exhausting. Right? No wonder we're depressed. No wonder we're anxious and anxiety and anger. And we don't, like, there's some of you, I don't know where you're at, but don't even want to go on with life anymore. Mm-hmm. Because you've got all this stuff and all these words that you're speaking, death over your lives, right? And over others. We got to change the way we talk over ourselves and over others. You know, Job 27:4 says, my lips will not speak falsehood, and my tongue will not utter deceit. Proverbs 12:18 says, there's one who speaks like a piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Ephesians 4:29-32 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary, edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each other. We should always be speaking of ourselves what God says. Amen. What God says about us. You know, speaking life. You know, we are beautiful and wonderfully made. We have the mind of Christ. We're enough. We're priests and kings. Come on, we are royalty. Amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right? So let's speak life over ourselves and over our spouses, over our children, and over others. Sister Rivka, go ahead and put that first picture up. Because a picture tells 1,000 words. Did you guys hear that saying before? Can you guys see what it is? Right? So what are we doing? Are we lifting our children up? Are we speaking life over them? You know, when they say, are you telling them I'm not good enough? I mean, that brings tears to my eyes. I don't know about you guys. You know, are we encouraging them? You know, when they're down, what are we doing to our kids, right? Or are we breaking their spirits with our words? This is for somebody I know. It's all good, right? I mean, that picture, I don't even have to say anything to it. You just look at it, right? It breaks our hearts. You know, are we correcting and disciplining our children with love or with anger? Which one is it? Amen. Okay, so let's talk about our spouses. Well, I'm not married, but those of you that are, this one's for you. And our families and our friends and others, right? Are we speaking life over your spouses, or are you complaining about all sorts of things? What are we doing, ladies? Are you nagging your husbands? Huh? No, right? No. We're not. Stick up for yourself, Sister Tanya. Amen. Proverbs 21:9 says, and I use the English Standard Version because I like the way it says, it's better to live in a corner of the housetop than in the house shared with a quarrelsome wife. I think I'm going to say that one again. Proverbs 21:9 in the English verse. It is better to live in the corner of the housetop. Imagine that, guys, way up there on the roof, than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Help us, Jesus. Yes. Whew. Yes, amen. Help us, Lord. Oh, I know I don't have a husband yet, but when I do, my mouth's got to be cleared out, right? So, ladies, stop nagging on your husbands. And be thankful for your husbands, right?
Amen.
Quit complaining about he leaving the socks in the middle of the room or whatever he does, like the toothpaste not pushed in all the way in or the toilet seat. I mean, those are little things. Let's not worry about those, right? Amen? Pastor Karen, yes? Complaining. She's laughing over here. I'm just picking her because then I don't want to pick on you because I'm already picking on you already. So we need to praise our husbands, right? Lift them up. Encourage them, right? Enjoy them. Enjoy your husband, right? Because I tell you what, there are plenty of single women out there that will be happy to be married to a husband like yours. So, you know, so be good to your husbands, right? I'm going to put a picture up here it's a joke, okay? So don't take it like for serious here. It's like going to line you up a little bit because I've just been giving you all this stuff. So Sister Rivka, I don't know if you could see it. Can you read what it says? Can you all see that? Am I in the way? It says apparently, I done something to upset you. I don't know who this one's for, but hey, right? Maybe it's for me in the future. I don't know. But there's the wife. She done put barbed wire in the middle of the bed. Try to keep him out of there. This is for somebody, so thank you, Lord. Visuals are good, right? Visuals are good. I had to get permission from my pastor before I put that out because I want to make sure it was going to be kosher with it. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out forth foolishness. Proverbs 16, 24 says, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the body and health to the bones. I like this one. I bought a little plaque at Cracker Barrel, and I have it right there by my stove. So when I'm cooking, I'm like meditating on this word. Sweetness. Be sweet. Be sweet to Tommy. Be sweet to everybody. Amen. That's a good one to have. Proverbs 10, 31 to 32 says, the mouth of the righteous bring forth wisdom, but the perverse tongues will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Some of us, I'm going to raise my hand because that's me. Some of us are talkers, right? And we love to talk. Amen. We're great communicators, okay? That's our gift, to be honest. That's the way I like to look at it. We're great communicators, right? When there is silence, we'll be speaking. That's a good gift. That comes in handy. However, that's what I said, but let's take a look at what Ecclesiastes says. Okay, that's the book of Elizabeth, somewhere in there in the middle. There's Ecclesiastes 3:7. Go with me there. There's a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Hello. We need wisdom to know when to speak, amen? And when to be silent by asking the Holy Spirit to give us revelation. Help me, Holy Spirit, to keep it sipped, right? Keep it sipped. I've been hearing that also. I'm like, sip it, Ellie. But Lord, sip it, Ellie. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm getting better at it. Exodus 14, 14 says, the Lord will fight for you.
Yes, amen.
And you have only be silent. Right? We have a great example. Jesus, right?
Right.
He knew when to be silent. Let us learn from him. Yeah. Matthew 26, 63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. He stayed silent. You guys, I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's what I was saying. Yeah, that's me. You know, he stayed silent, right? He's given us some examples here. Mark 15, 4 to 5. Then Pilate questioned him again, saying, do you not answer? See how many charges they bring against you. So Pilate was amazed. I want somebody to be amazed because I don't stick up for myself. You know, when I know I'm in the right, one of these days is going to happen. John 19:9. Look, I'm just being real here, right? John 19:9, and he entered into the, let me see if I can say this word, praetorium. That means the judgment hall. I should put that word in there. Again, and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. Then on Luke 23:9, Pilate is still talking to Jesus, and he questioned him at some length. I mean, people are just asking you questions. You're about to say something, right? But he answered him nothing. Jesus knew when to be silent. We too need to know when to be silent. Amen. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us, right? To sip our lips. Amen. So all summer long, that's the word I heard. Sip your lip. Sip your lip. I'm like, I'm going to hear it in my sleep. Sip your lip. You know? And trust me, it's challenging, right? But God, with God's help, he can do it. He can help us. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen.
Amen.
You know, how are we doing with time? Am I okay? Okay. Not for yet. Hey, hallelujah. I like you, brother. Whoever said that, glory be to God. Okay. So the Lord told me, I was going to Pastor K Karen's cell group on Tuesdays evenings, and then the Lord told me to join Sister Sarah's cell group. Well, Sister Sarah's cell group is in the mornings, and I'm at work, and it's around my lunchtime, and I'm allowed to wear an ear pad or ear thing, whatever they call them, on your ear and listen. So I was able to listen. I'm able to listen to the cell group, but I can't really much speak. It's no bueno, people. I'm telling you. The first week I was like, oh, and they're saying, oh, what about this? Well, I don't know. And I'm like, I know, I'm over here building trucks. I know, you know, but you can't, you don't have time to talk. So it's like, I knew that God knew what he was doing when he put me in the cell group, amen. He really will help us if we ask him. He really will. Practice makes perfect. Amen. Proverbs 17:28, the English Standard Version says, even a fool keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Can you imagine? Like, wow, right? We would be really smart if we kept our lips shut. I hear you, Lord. James 1:19. Know this, my brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. He said, be quick to hear. We have two ears, right? God gave us two beautiful ears, but only one mouth. Wonder why that is. Two of everything, two eyes, two nostrils, but just one mouth. So that, take that, right? We need to use it wisely. You know, a sweet friend of mine once told me, you know, Ellie, we don't have to share our opinion about everything. Man, that spoke, like, that was so much wisdom, you know? But if someone asks you for your opinion, it's okay to give it if they ask you. But if not, then just don't give it, right? So I learned from that. So that was very wise. I sometimes catch myself saying, I'm busy, I have no time. I know Pastor Harley said a couple of sermons ago, we have all the time, you know, hello, speak that out, right? So I always say, I'm busy, I have no time. But God doesn't want us to be busy, amen? He wants us to be fruitful, right? He wants us to be fruitful, not busy. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Amen. So we are to be fruitful, not busy, but fruitful. Songs of Solomon 2:15 says, catch us, the little foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. So when I read that, I was like, oh, you know, I never heard that foxes eat grapes, you know? So I'm like, I'm going to Google this, my friend Google, right? You know, how do the foxes ruin the vine, right? So here was the answer. This is the answer they gave me. A fox doesn't come and only eat the fruit of the vine. They do much more damage. They like to gnaw on the trunk and dig holes around it and expose the roots. They don't simply eat the grapes, they destroy the whole entire vine. That was like revelation to me, you know? Like our words that we speak all the time, little by little by little, you know? What are we doing to our lives, you know? And then the enemy, right? He speaks lies into our minds. And little by little, tries to destroy us, right? Tries to stop us from doing what God's called us to do. You know, John 10:10 says, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his main purpose, to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? Proverbs 16:9. I told you there was going to be a lot of scripture because this is so good. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. That's good, right? Three out of those that he hates deals with our mouths. Ouch, right? Psalm 34:13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. We talk about lies now. This means little white lies, right? They're all lies. You know, I was like, oh, I didn't really lie. It was a little white lie. Well, there's no little white lies. To God, lies are lies. Help us, Jesus. Yes. Amen. How am I doing with time, Pastor Harley? Am I okay? Okay, so we're coasting. Good. So we're going to go to Acts 5, 1 through 11. This is the story that a lot of you know, Ananias and Sapphira. Let me see. I'm trying to get here. Read it for you. Okay. Are you there with me? Say amen.
Amen.
But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it, part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Right? Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. I'd be afraid too, right? Can you imagine if that happened now? Whew, hallelujah. I don't know who all be left in here. Oh, Lord, help us. And the young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it was about the 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at the feet and breathed her last. And the young men came, and it found her dead, and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who hear these things. Wow, right? Help us, Jesus. I'm so thankful for Jesus because we don't have to worry about that now. Amen. But that is an example that really, really should touch our hearts and examine our mouths, right? So if it happened today, can you imagine? Like, who would be left in this room? Or you on Facebook, who will be left in your household, right? Help us, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, right? Amen. You know, what are we doing? You know, I'm going to go to Proverbs 18, 1 through 8, and I want to do the NIV because that I like how way it says in that translation. So let me go there with my phone here. Let's see. Proverbs 18, 1 through 8. An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends, and against all sound judgment starts squirrels. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. See, here's we're talking about the opinions things. When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes reproach. The words of the mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream. It is not good to be partial to the wicked, and so deprive the innocent of justice. The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. The mouth of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the inmost parts. No gossipers in this house, amen? How's everybody doing? We all look a little tense. What's going on? Like, do a little exercise. Sister Rivka, help us out with this tensefulness here. I'm going to show you what I baked last night. What is it? There you go. Hey, I'm trying. Right? Follow me for more recipes. Who wants my recipes? Amen. Trying to loosen you up a little bit because you're like, she's talking to me. I'm talking to myself, but if it You know, if the shoot fits and you can wear it, it's okay. It's okay. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 20:19 on the ESV says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Ouch. Who are we associating with? Who are we allowing in our circle of influence? Right? So I'm going to share a story. I didn't ask her for permission, but I think she'll be okay with it. When I first came to my father's house about 2.5 years ago, Sister Sarah was the first person I met, and her and I ended up at the YMCA. We're trying to get to know each other. She's trying to minister to me and speak life into my life, you know. And I remember this very clearly because it always comes to my mind. So thank you, Sister Sarah, for this. We were leaving the YMCA. She don't know what it is, but she'll know. We were leaving the Y, and we were in a conversation about boyfriends, and I said that, you know, no, I'm not. This person came up. I was like, oh, I said, I used to date him. She's like, oh, no. And I said, yeah, but, you know. And so I proceeded to tell her, you know, why I wasn't dating this guy anymore. And I said, well, he was lazy, and he was this, and he was that. In the middle of my sentence, Sister Sarah said, thank you, Jesus, for so-and-so. We bless him, Lord. Help him, Jesus. Like, right there in the parking lot, she started praying for my ex. Right? It's like, I mean, how sweet is that? Like, Ellie, like, she corrected me in a really sweet way. Amen. She remembers now. You remember? So Amy was like, oh, man. I was like, I like her, you know? And all the way home, and, you know, this was 2.5 years ago, and I still think of that when people ask me about it. I'm like, oh, I got to remember Sister Sarah. She comes, you know, obviously it's the Holy Spirit that spoke to Sister Sarah, but it touched me in a great way, and it probably will carry me for the rest of my life. So thank you. We take part on our brothers and sisters' lives. Amen. It's how when we help them out, right? Proverbs 17:9 said, he who covers transgression seeks love. Right? See, she was seeking love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Right? We need to pay attention. Who are our friends, right? We need godly people that can give us godly advice, godly counsel, right? Iron sharpens iron, right? Holy Spirit, help us to speak life. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. My rock and my redeemer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. We humble ourselves before you. We put our tongues and our mouths on the altar. Forgive us, Lord, for all the unwholesome words we have spoken. We repent. Forgive us for all of the people that we hurt with our words. And we forgive those that hurt us, and we release them to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to put a guard over our mouths and to keep our lips from speaking evil. Thank you, Father, for your word. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Pastor Harley.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.